We've been knocked down so many times. I was listening to a brother in Sunday school, and I've said this, and nobody says it around me, of course, I don't get here that often. But when you fuss about your pastor, you cannot praise God at the same time. And God is worthy to be praised. I've been all over the state of Virginia as an intern, as filling in for preachers like here. And one of the things I see is the coldness of God's people. Our country is not going to be judged. It's being judged. Don't blame it on Uncle Joe in Congress. Blame it on the people who sit in the pews that never asked God to deal with the president and the vice president and the Congress and the mayors. Our cities are shooting each other up. You can't go anywhere now that you're afraid you won't get shot, including church. In our church, we have four armed men. They're licensed by the police. They're okay. They know how to handle firearms. Their weapons are concealed, but you don't know who's going to come through that door and knock Mikey down back there and shoot somebody. You don't know. We live in evil, wicked times. So what has happened to Valley View? I first became acquainted with you about 22 years ago, when you were in this building over here and you had to sit on each other's laps in order to get in the building. And I remember somebody saying, or several saying, now that we got this built, when we get this filled up, we're going to build again. What happened? What happened? You quit on God. Now, folks, I'm coming back tonight. You may not be here, but I'm going to be here tonight. But I got you now for the next 30 minutes. I told Pastor Boone, said, yeah, I'll preach. How long can I preach? He said, you can preach as long as you want. But most of them will get up and leave about 5 after 12. We got God consumed in that little time period. I tell my young pastor all the time, he's 32 years old, the man will preach 55 minutes if he'll preach a minute. And I tell him every week, Pastor Brian, you don't have to be long to be eternal. I can go down and listen to Jeff Gardner preach the same sermon in 19 minutes. I also understand this, that we have consumed ourselves with this life and the things that's going on, and God is blessed, and he ought to thank his holy angels that we come in once a week at 11 o'clock and give our tithe and worship our God. If you're not worshiping God 24 hours a day, you've missed it somewhere. Even when you're working, you're praying. When you're shopping, you're praying. When you're mowing the yard, you're talking to your father. You're greeting your neighbors. Where is the witness gone today? Do you know we have the greatest means to reach the world today that we've ever had? Internet, Facebook, Twitter, hitter, kitter, we got it all. And we can reach people around the world. Somebody asked me, said, preacher, I've heard you preach that people are just not going to willingly lay down and take the mark of the beast during the tribulation. They sure lined up to take the vaccination. And they'll line up to take the mark of the beast. Can you think of anything in your lifetime that one little germ, wherever it came from, one germ stopped the entire world? And now they're moving on 5 million people dead from it. But one little germ stopped an entire world of 7.5 billion people. How many of y'all like the shutdown? You couldn't greet nobody. A guy told me the other day, he's probably 190 years old. He said, I don't shake hands no more. That's a thing of the past. I said, okay, I'm going to shake hands. They want a fist bump. They want a knee bump. They want a hip. They want a bump all over the place. I want to shake hands and hug. And if I got to go, let me go hugging you. Let me go shaking your hand. Use some common sense. But people today have believed the lie that's come out of Washington, fear. And it's premeditated our churches. And today people say, well, it's Pastor Boone's fault. We used to have 200 people. Look at us now. I'll tell you what. Before you point it to preacher, you better point it yourself. You better look in here and say, where's the young people that used to attend? I was telling the song leader's wife. She is your wife, isn't she? Yeah, I'm going to make sure. Okay, yeah, the one that gave me a good hug. You wasn't looking, but she gave me a hug. That people today, when they turn 18, they leave. Pastor said something. He's been in California for the last 4 years every summer. He's getting his master's degree, and I don't have any problem with that. But what happens to people when they turn 18? They leave church. They don't have time for God anymore. It's that, you know, Jesus, Pastor Boone, or wherever you're going, that's for old people. Well, let me say this to you that are under the age of 50. Amen. I like being an old person. I don't like being retired, but I like being an old person. And I'm not old. I'm 34. Plus tax. I'll tell you about that later. And what a thrill to hear this young man. I'm going to get him today because he may think that what Pastor Boone preached last night got him to the altar. It helped, but that wasn't what got him to the altar. The Spirit of God got him. God got a hold of his heart, and God wants to get a hold of your heart. So enough introduction. That's sermon number one. Let's go to sermon number two, and I promise you I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. John chapter 16, the call of God. Are we listening when God calls? John chapter 16, we're going to begin with verse 5. And is my tradition, if you're able, would you mind standing as we read the opening scripture? But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? And because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. Is it expedient, urgent for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, look what he says, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And a little while, and you shall not see me. Look at this. And again in a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for multitude of years at Valley, for the faithful people who have listened and done what you said. And I ask, God, that you would call today and speak to my heart and the hearts of these people and open our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might be receptive to the Word of God. Have your way, have your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. It is my belief in studying the Bible, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, that there's no such thing as what they call common grace, that anyone can respond to the gospel invitation. If you're here today and you're lost, the only way you're going to get down here is by the Spirit. If you come for any other reason, you're going to go out the way you came in, empty. We hear a lot about our Heavenly Father, and we should. We hear a lot about our wonderful Savior, and we should. But the churches today have left out the Holy Spirit, especially the independent Baptists, because we don't want nobody to think we're Pentecostal. I wish some of God's people shout once in a while. Don't worry, you're not going to offend me if you raise your hands and say, praise the Lord. But we've left the Spirit out. How many times do people come to this altar and they kneel and they pray and they get up and they leave and there's no change. I'll tell you why. Because they came without the leading of the Holy Spirit and they didn't mean business. They just wanted to get a little guilt off their heart. The Spirit has to get you down here. The Spirit has to open your eyes. That's what happened to that young man. The message that God laid on Pastor Boone's heart, he got up and he preached that message. The reason the place was full is because the Spirit of God evidently spoke to a lot of people. So not so much to hear Daniel Boone, but they wanted to hear the Word of God. And folks, his eyes was open, his ears was open, spiritually speaking, and when he knelt at the altar, by God's grace, he got saved. Amen. You realize that that young man, like me and many of you, he never has to spend the first second in hell. Amen. Never. Because he believed what Jesus said he would do. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Last night, God gave him eternal rest. Last night or early this morning, he gave Sherry's mother eternal rest. She is shouting today. And we know that. We miss our loved ones when they die. But we have pushed the Spirit of God out of the church. And so if the Spirit's not getting the job done, if we're not allowing Him to speak in us and through us, we have missed what God has for us to do. The Bible said, apart from the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit, nobody can be saved. Write down John 6:44. No man can come to me except he be led by the Spirit or by the Father. You can't get to the Lord unless you come God's way. I have testified to you many times that when I got saved 59 years ago, going on 60, I know I don't look it. The lady had to explain the gospel to me. I just couldn't get it. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God opened my eyes as a 13-year-old, 12-year-old boy, opened my ears, and I understood what she was saying to me as she read the Scripture, and I didn't know anything else to do except, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm lost. I know it. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And you know what He did? He came into my heart and He became, for all eternity, my Lord and my Savior. When I was 15 years old, 3 years after I got saved, my pastor comes to me and says, I want you to teach Sunday school. Are you kidding? I thought all you had to do is just look at a verse and get up and tell a bunch of kids this is the way it is. That ain't the way it works. If you're going to be an honest-to-goodness, Holy Spirit-filled Sunday school teacher, you got to dig. You know that this is a gold mine and it's full of gold nuggets. Amen. All waiting for you. A fellow told me Thursday, he came over to the house. He's helped me move furniture. He's a fine Christian man. And he said, preacher, I have to make myself read my Bible. Anybody like that today? I mean, I got to make myself. And I said, why do you have to make yourself? He says, because when I read it, I don't understand it. I think the Scripture says, any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God thereof, who giveth freely and liberally to all men who ask. If you don't understand what you're reading, ask God. God didn't just put these words in there so you can tuck it under your arm and walk into His house. He expects us to read it and study and look at it. This is the greatest thing, the greatest book you're ever going to have in your life is laying in your lap. But why have so many people left Valley View? I used to tell people in Rocky Mountain when I started that church, I was 27 going on 28. A lot of years ago. And I used to tell them every time they come, they say, preacher, I want to join this church. I like you. See, I had some friends at one time. And I know I had some friends at Valley View. You better say amen or I won't quit ever. Thank you very much. And I said, is the Lord leading you here? Well, I feel, I didn't ask you about your feelings. Is the Lord leading you here? Well, let me pray about it some more. I said, okay. 2 weeks later, they come back. Yes, it's God leading me to this church to serve Him. I'm amazed at how God leads so many people into a local church And so many people leave the church. Where's all the people of yesteryear that haven't died or got old? Mike Vest said this to me when I'm talking to him. He's one of my dear friends, and I say it and I believe it. If Pastor Boone and Valley View did not have you during the pandemic, he never had you. Oh, it's the pandemic. I think I'll stay home. Oh, I got to be around other people and breathe on them. I think I'll stay home. We've got people, and you do too, will never come back to church. They were looking for a reason to quit on God. They were not listening to the Spirit of God. Whatever gets done from this moment forward for the living God has to be done by the Holy Spirit of God. He has to speak through the pastor. He has to speak through the Sunday school teachers. He has to speak to you as an individual. Now, you ain't going to like what I say, so buckle up. Some of you will be able to return to the house of God tonight, but you don't need but 1 hour. You didn't come to Sunday school. You're not coming back tonight. This is it for you. This is what you give God. 1 hour, 35 minutes of preaching. That's it. What are you going to tell the Father when you stand before Him? Lord, it was hot. And it has been hot. But I know a place is going to be hotter. I ain't going there, but I know about it because my Bible tells. And as I talk to these pastors all over the state, the altar has grown cold. The churches have grown cold. The pulpits have grown cold. Now, I know the man that stands behind this one. He ain't cold yet. Some of you treat him like he's dead, but he ain't cold yet. He's still preaching the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how we get used to it? Go out here and pick any number of churches. You'll never hear what you hear from Pastor Boone. Because they'll run you out of town with a stick. But you have a man that stands and preaches the Word of God, and the Spirit deals with your heart, knocks on your door, and tugs at your heart. And you say, not today. It's a fearful thing to say no to God. I preached or did a lesson for 7 weeks just before the pandemic on Tuesdays about Satan and demons. Most of it was on Satanism. And I told them one of them this story, which was true. A young couple joined our church. She was a nice-looking woman, and he's a handsome man. We want to be a part of this church. So I always put them to the test, you know, set in the services, talk to some people, and here's the people. Because there's some people you don't want to talk to at Valley View. I mean, all they do is badmouth everything that happens. I get so tired of hearing those people. You know, I used to do, you better be glad I ain't your pastor, because if I found out, I'd say, God, kill them. They're your kids. I can't do nothing with them. That's the way my wife prays. But we were invited to their house for a scrumptious supper. They were from the deep south of Alabama. She said she knew how to cook. He said he could cook. We're sitting around the dinner table and we're getting ready to eat. And she said, oh, by the way, I'm a converted witch. I said, okay. And he said, me too. I'm a warlock, which is a male witch. I said, okay, you're converted, doesn't bother me. But we're not sure what you are offering is the truth. And a chill came over the room. And I said, ma'am, until you can make up your mind, sir, until you can make up your mind that Jesus Christ is really who he says he is, excuse me. And I left that home-cooked meal sitting on the table and got up and walked out. And to this day, I'm convinced they made a mouth confession but no heart confession. Now, if you're going to sit down with a witch, you better know your Bible. As a matter of fact, if you're going to sit down with a backbiting Christian, about the same way. And the churches today have pushed the Spirit over here because we don't want to be known as Pentecostal or speaking in tongues. And I'm not getting into all that today. I'm just simply saying that if this church is not where you think it ought to be, Please don't blame God. Please don't blame the pastor. Look at your own heart. Are you listening to what the Spirit says to do? The Spirit drawed that young man. He drew me. He drew you that are saved today. He wants to draw others that are sitting here that have put on the good imitation face and hoping that people think, well, my daddy or my grandfather or blah, 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 because they're saved, I'm going to heaven. If you haven't made a personal commitment through the power of God, you're on your way to hell. This terrible place that you will spend all eternity in. People said, I don't believe in the devil. You will. We got neighbors on either side of us on Buck Mountain Road that are lost. I said, honey, you take that family in. I'll take this family. She's standing out at the fence one day. She's witnessing to the woman, and the woman just casually looks at her. I mean, she's been in Brother Jeff Gardner's church, Independent Baptist Church. Jeff's a good pastor. And she just looked at my wife, and she said, I don't want and I don't need your God. My wife didn't get upset. She just looked at her with those deep blue eyes, and she said, one day you will, but it'll be too late. She didn't pull no punches. Same time, I'm on the other side witnessing to a Vietnamese lady, probably in her late 30s, married an American, lives here in America, and she's all into Buddha. I said, well, there's no Buddhist temples in Roanoke that I know of. She said, no, the nearest one's in Greensboro. That's about 70 miles from Roanoke. I said, well, ma'am, you just come on down the street and listen to my preacher. She said, what's so great about your God, Jesus? I said, he's alive and yours is dead. Amen. He said, well, he died. I said, yes, ma'am, he did die. He died for my sins, but he conquered death, hell, and the grave so that I could have eternal life. Buddha didn't do that. Amen. She listened, but she made no commitment. Very nice young lady, very pleasant, but she's worshiping an idol of stone. And I could see God's Spirit working on her as Nan could see it with this lady. But they don't want the Lord. And we pray every day, God, make us the light that we ought to be. I don't tell people about Jesus because I'm a preacher. I tell people about Jesus because I'm His. And what He's done for me. What a great God we serve. But we've pushed Him out and said, God will save anybody. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says that Satan is the god of this world. He has blinded the eyes to them who want to believe, but he blinds the eye. And no wonder God says that he can transform himself into an angel of light. We don't have the time to get into all that about him today. But if our eyes would be open spiritually, we would see the demonic beings everywhere. I think I told you the story 3 years ago when I was in the jungles of South America and visiting a missionary. And I met the only witch doctor, shaman, within 200 miles that knew anything about God. And I looked at this shaman. At that time, he was 90. And I said, tell me about this God you trusted. Joe Dawson went there in 1954 and began to deal with a tribe that is still Stone Age. They don't wear clothes, spears, killings, rape, revenge, you name it, they do it. They didn't even know the outside world existed until 1952. They thought they were the only ones. And he said, all I can tell you, preacher, is one thing. Many years ago, I hung my hopes on Jesus Christ. And then he looked at me with those piercing black eyes and said, they're still hanging there. Do you know what that means? This old boy that had been controlled by demons and demonic beings by the hundreds was suddenly saved by the power of God. If God can get up an old shaman, an old witch doctor, know by the power of the Spirit of God through the preaching of Joe Dawson and his family. He preached the Word of God. God came down. The Spirit spoke to him. And when that old shaman was dying, here's what the Here's what the demons do to witch doctors in South America when they throw them away, when they give it up. The demons actually come to kill him. I've got a storybook about his life. And he threw him away that day and got Jesus. And he's walking along the trail. This is a true story. Down through the jungles, 1,000 miles from any civilization, and the demons come. And they pounce on him on that trail and they begin to beat him. They're going to kill him. And all of a sudden, there's this bright light brighter than day, he said. And a voice from heaven said, "Leave him alone. He's mine." And the demons fled. See, that's what the power of God will do. It'll bring demons under control. They know who Jesus is, and the Word of God says they tremble. If you only knew your enemy today doesn't want you to do anything with this message, just listen. It sounds good. He's good. I like what he's saying. And if you go out and there's no change, I didn't fail. God didn't fail. You failed. I'm so tired of hearing people whining and complaining. Our world is lost today, and they need us to be the light. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. You're the salt. You're the pepper." But our altars have grown cold. Or if people do come to the altar, and I'm not trying to discourage you not to come, when I give the invitation, I hope you will come if the Spirit tells you to come. But if he doesn't tell you to come, stay where you're at. Because if you come, get up and leave, that's just nothing. It's got to be by his power. Unaided by the Spirit of God, you can't turn to God. The Bible says the world can't receive him because it knows him not. What wrought divine call is issued? God gives a call and invitation. The Holy Spirit enlightens the mind. He opens the eyes spiritually, opens the ears spiritually, like he did that young man, like he did you and I that are saved. And suddenly we see. He wanted Daniel Boone to shut up so he could get to the altar. And I've seen people like that. They want to get saved. I've had them come while I'm preaching. And I'd say, "Okay, buddy, come down and take care of that. Okay, ma'am, come down and take care of that." And keep right on preaching. The power of God. Why do we have to wait as God is twisting and speaking and tugging in our heart to the invitation? You might die before the invitation. You might drop into hell. You think it's hot outside. You ain't seen nothing yet. How can you sit there and listen to me and fellow pastors, Brother Boone, week after month after year, and wring your hands? "Oh, we used to have such a crowd of people. What has happened?" Have you stopped praying? You know what some people say when folks leave the church? Same thing Boyd Clark sang in the song. "Thank God at Greyhound, she's gone. Boy, I'm glad she's out of the church." The sad thing is God said, "Entreat them as a brother. Try to restore them to fellowship." But we get mad because Pastor Boone didn't shake our hand, as he said. He didn't come to visit me. All that weight's put on him. And you know why he can carry the load he carries? You know why he's not crazy? Well, he is. Scratch that from the... You know why he can do what he's doing? He don't need your money. Thank you. I appreciate you paying him. But that's not the reason he stays. He stays because the love of Christ constrains him. Here's a group of people that still need to hear the Word of God. I talked to a preacher at breakfast yesterday. Anytime they want to take me to breakfast, I go, especially if they're buying. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know. I'm tired and I'm weary. Sometimes I just don't feel like getting up and preaching anymore." And he said this, he said, "I just want to be a normal human being." You can't be normal if you're a pastor. Everybody thinks he's up here. I got news for you, Pastor Boone's down here. He's on your level. But he's weary and he's tired because nobody's listening. Adult Sunday school teacher When you're up here teaching, do you have people look at you like a new calf looking at a new gate? Is he done yet? Instead of what he's trying to put into your mind, what he was teaching today? If your heart is not opened by the Spirit of God, I've not failed. You have. It's not getting anything. It's trusting the Lord. It's not you getting on your knees and say, okay, God, I'm sorry. I committed adultery. I smoked. I drank. I did it. I ran away. Man, God, I got a list of sins. You know something? You got to catch the fish before you can clean them. In other words, don't worry about getting somebody straight before you get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus and he'll get them straight. Huh? And it might be you that have known him for years, like me, that thing in your life, you just can't let it go. It's not that you can't let it go, it's that you won't let it go. And you fake your happiness for the Lamb of God, and you fooled everybody but Jesus. How sad it must be as he looks on our churches today. And we thank God, the Bible-believing churches that are growing, that are strong, God will use some and expand it like the one the Sunday school teacher was in last night. And he'll use some like this. Do you know this? Valley View Baptist is needed in this community. Why do you think God planted it 35, 40 years ago? How long has it been here? 55 years ago. 55 years ago, that would have been somewhere around 1965. 66. I was a teenager. Handsome teenager, but I was a teenager. But we look at ourselves and we say, we sure ain't what we used to be. Don't blame God. When you're sitting at home tonight and the faithful handful comes out, whether it's me or Pastor Boone or whoever's speaking, think about this. They wished you were here. I'm talking about you that are able, not you that are disabled. You that could come. You that should be here in prayer meeting and studying the Word of God and praying and working with the youth and anything else. God, I'm here. I said, Lord, I turned 70. I know I don't look, I turned 71 years old the end of June. Don't look it, do it. All these years I've been proclaiming the gospel. And what I see now in our churches is America's in trouble because of church. And the Christian is going to come under the persecution like you've never seen. If you think this is something just passing in tonight, give Uncle Joe a call. It's coming. They're in Washington, they're trying to pass laws to shut down the churches. And they almost did it during the pandemic. I'm trying to think of the pastor in California where Brother Brown goes to college. Flies out 3 weeks, he comes back. Can't remember his name. John MacArthur. And they went to him and said, we're in a pandemic, you got to close. John MacArthur said, no. You know what the state of California did? They cut off the power to all of his facilities. How would you like to be here today with no air conditioning? And listening to my big mouth. Shut it all off. John MacArthur still said no and took him to the California Supreme Court, and the California Supreme Court said, turn his power back on. They tried during the pandemic. We had to meet in cars, on the roof, in the basement, any place we could. They tried to shut the churches down. Thank God they failed. We've got a little bit of reprieve, but the day is coming when the church, Valley View included, will go underground if the Lord tarries to worship. You won't sit in a pew like you're sitting now. Write it down in your notes that Bob Andrews warned you on this day is coming if the Lord tarries. How many of you folks think it's hot? What? You people slow? It's hot outside. How many of y'all know it's hot outside? Okay, your country people, so far so good. How many of you all know when a rainstorm's coming? That's a couple of them. You know how? You can smell it in the air. You can be 10 miles from that rainstorm and you can smell it in the air. You know what? The coming of Jesus Christ, you can smell it in the air. I don't think this world will last another 20 years. I don't see how. Unless God intervenes. We're almost home. And so if the Spirit has told you to quit teaching Sunday school, and I still teach since 1965, every chance I get I teach. Fill in. Taught for years at Lighthouse. Still preach. Somebody said, don't you think it's time you sit down and relax? As soon as I get home, I get to relax for all eternity. I ain't got time to relax. I've had 2 heart attacks, 6 surgeries at the Veterans Administration. Not one of them was on my brain. That's still working good. I had to fight the Veterans Administration. Stanley's done the same thing. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I had to fight them for 15 years to get what was already mine. Until one day I went to the Poff Federal Building in Roanoke. VA's on the top floor. I got a letter. I think I got the money. I don't know whether I got it or not. And the lady read the letter, said, follow me. And I followed her and went into a little cubicle. She picked up the phone to Washington, D.C. She made a couple of comments. She hung the phone up and said, this much is going to be in your account, back pay. Now, I've already been paid, so I can tell you the amount. $40,000. I didn't know what $40 looked like. And she said, from now on, you're going to get this much every month. Boom. One phone call. All you have to do is make one confession. The Lord has already died for all your sins, for all time, for all eternity, past, present, and future. Now, I don't mean you can go out here and live like hell and act like hell and smell like hell. That's not what that means. What it means is that at Calvary, he looked down and he saw a beloved song leader on his way to hell and he died for it. He died for all those sins. The only sin that would have sent this young man, me, or anybody else, the only sin that sends you to hell is when you say no to the living Spirit of God for the last time. And God says, okay. And you die. And you wake up in hell. Make any difference to me whether you believe it. I know what the book says. People tell me when you die, they bury you and worms eat your body. They may eat my body, but they can't get my soul. I don't care whether they did or not. I'm not here. And one day God's going to come back. Is Valley View today listening to the call of God? Are you basing what you believe and what you do on your emotions? And emotions is good. I've wept many a time as I've seen people get saved. When I resigned from Lighthouse after almost 30 years, I stood just like this and I wept. And then I turned my back and I wept some more before the congregation. But I said, folks, I know what it's like. I know what it's like for Pastor Boone to have his heart just ripped out. Throwed on the floor and stomped like nothing. And by the way, every time you hurt him, you hurt her, his partner. And you get his son-in-law, man, he's pretty good size. And I was just sitting there saying, Lord, thank you. Help him when he rebukes the people of Clearbrook to do it in a loving manner. He's not going to let nobody talk about his daddy. Or his wife. Or anybody else. Why don't we sit around in closing and we say, you know, I don't like that fella. He looked at my wife the wrong way. I ain't too happy with him. And then we began a gossip campaign. Every time you talk about a believer, you're talking about your Savior. Because he says we are his ambassadors. In closing, what kind of an ambassador are you? Are you one that lives your life on emotion? Are you one that says, Pastor, anything for me to do this week? Every week I ask Brian the same thing. I'm 71. I said, Preacher, got anything for me to do? Anything you want me to do while you're gone? Need the yard mowed? Need the commodes clean? Anything you want me to do? Listen, I want to go out working for the Lord, not just sitting back in my recliner. I want to be tonight. I got to drive 45 minutes to get home. Eat my sandwich and 45 minutes back tonight. Now, if I can do that, some of you can show up. Listen to the Spirit tonight. Let Him draw you. Get excited about Jesus one more time. I can tell you this. After almost 60 years of being saved, He's never disappointed me. Not one time. I have made some beloved friends, including Valerie. People that I have treasured and loved. And I'll mention them by name. I love your brother, who leads the singing. I love Stanley, who's got a check in the mail for me after I helped him get his benefits. And I just love him and his wife. First time I met him, I looked at his wife and I said, "Is this your daughter?" She don't have as many miles on her as Stanley does. Well, Brother Mikey and Sister Julie, who have been treasured friends over the years. And we love them. And we hug them. And if Mikey's not looking, I kiss her. She don't care. Good friends. Good fellowship. Spirit of God, what do you got for me to do? I asked him that this morning. Lord, is there anything else I can do? Is there anything? Preach? Clean the bathroom? Mow the yards? Whatever you got for me to do, Lord, I'll do. I said I'd close and I will. When I left youth camp after 37 years, it wasn't dry in the house. Nan and I said, we can't come back and do this again. Year after year, go off.